Welcome to the Spiritual Artist Podcast. This is Chris Miller. I invite you to join me as I interview artists from a variety of disciplines. We'll share powerful stories and lessons learned while making their art. Today, I'm in conversation with Rebecca Collins. I first met Rebecca when she applied for my show, The Urban Artist Market, in Dallas, Texas. She's become a good friend of mine, and I think she is the perfect candidate for the first episode of the Spiritual Artist Podcast. As we enter into this new world where a pandemic is shutting down our resources and making us be socially distant, I've realized that Rebecca, who has dealt with stage 4 cancer and continues to do so, has an incredible insights for us as artists. She has managed to work within fear and through fear while producing her wonderful work. She creates collage, drawing, mixed media, you name it, but it's her infectious personality and her can-do attitude that has drawn me to her. Good morning, Rebecca.
Good morning, Chris.
How are you today?
I'm doing good.
Rebecca, we were just talking, and I wanted to remind the audience here of how impressed I am with your work. It's something that you notice right away, that you're very consciously present when you do your work.
Thank you. I like to play. It's just, for me, the being present is what it's all about. I try not to think about the end product. So yeah, thank you for acknowledging me on that. Yeah.
Well, you're welcome. I do. I love your work. And it's something I spot with certain artists where you see that they're not just rushing to the end. You know, it's about being in that moment. And so in this issue, I wanted to talk about working with fear and how we as artists process through fear when we do work. How do we step out there and create art in a fearful environment, and also the fear inside of our heads? Are we good enough?
Yeah, there's the situational things. If fear, you can break fear down into kind of categories, I guess, because there's the situation, like now we're all afraid of the virus. You know, 5 years ago, I was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, and that was a situation, an issue, that's fear. But what you're talking about is like, yeah, I mean, beyond what's going on in your environment, we have what's going on inside of ourselves. And that can be even more limiting than the situational things that are going through. You're going through a divorce, or there's a virus trying to kill you, or cancer's trying to kill you. You know, you've got all the situational things, but beyond that, there's the stuff inside of us. Like you said, it says, I'm not good enough, or I'm going to put it out there and nobody's going to respond to it. Then that's the fear that is, I think, the most immobilizing. Yeah. The most immobilizing for people that I see. People get stuck with. They get really stuck in what's in front of them and what's inside of them, and not, you know, not necessarily the fears of their environment, but the fears of is this thing I'm working on going to work? I'm putting all this time into it. Is it going to be good enough? And that's just paralyzing, I think, for some people. And I think part of it is because you say I don't rush through things, and I don't rush through things, but at the same time, I have the ability to work quickly on a thing. And I picked that up when I was doing a handmade greeting card line back in the 90s. And I had to design quickly for each season. We had to change out our card designs and something new every year. So learning those production techniques, I bring that into my fine artwork. And so I'm able to quickly work through things at a pace that doesn't paralyze me and make me think, oh, I'm just, you know, this is taking me 3 weeks. It might be horrible. So I don't have that, because I kind of approach everything as a sketch. You know, it's everything's an experiment and a sketch, you know, and that helps me to move forward.
Well, it's funny. I remember when I was learning to paint that we would do just gesture drawings, where you're trained to work fast. Mm-hmm. See an image, work fast. And so I think that production experience with you, with the cards, teaches you to go through the process quickly. Mm-hmm. And maybe that is one way that you can get through fear, is to just work at it really quick and just keep going.
Just plow through. You just have to move forward, you know? You just have to move forward and give yourself permission to suck. That's the other thing. You have to give yourself permission to fail and realize with each failure, you know, it's really a win, because if you fail at a thing, you know, you're going to be better the next time. And, you know, that's done. You're not going to have that exact failure again. Well, hopefully not.
Hopefully not. I think that's interesting because, you know, you mentioned the virus and there's so many people frozen in that fear of worried about the future, worried about the past and what they've lost. And I think you're right. It's, you just have to do it. You just do it.
You show up and, again, what I try to get across to my students is approaching it as a practice, not, you know, to get a little detached from what's in front of you, the project in front of you, the painting in front of you, the mosaic in front of you, whatever it is you're working on. You have to get a little emotionally detached from it and realize the practice is just showing up. You know, it's a practice. It's not what you end up with that matters. It's not the piece of art that matters. And if you can approach it that way, then over the course of 2-3 years, you're going to look back at your stuff you did 2-3 years ago and you're going to go, oh, wow, I'm much better today, because it's a practice, you know? It's like yoga, you know? People don't go to the mat the first time they go to a yoga class and expect to, you know, master the tree pose or whatever, you know, or any of those contortionist style poses. You don't expect to do that. And your instructor, if it's a good instructor, if they are a good instructor, they don't expect you to be able to do that. And it's the same with art. You know, you just have to show up to the mat or to the drawing board every day, you know?
Yeah. I think it's important, like you mentioned, that you find a good instructor. And in this case, the instructor is oftentimes you. I mean, you're your own instructor. In this socially distant world that we're being creative in right now, there is nobody to walk you through, right? You're in your studio alone and you just have to walk through it. And I imagine that ties into your health situation for the last few years. I mean, it's probably hard to get people to understand how you feel when you're struggling with cancer, you know?
It is. It's, unless you've been there and done it, you don't understand it. And stage 4 cancer, with what I'm dealing with, is a completely different game too, because I often look okay. I look healthy often. And feel good. I often feel good. And it's like you look at me and you don't see a person that has a terminal illness. And so, you know, family and friends think, oh, well, Rebecca's doing great. She's in remission. It's like, no, we don't get to use that word, remission. And so it's still present. It's always present. But I think the gift it has given me, though, having a terminal illness, has been that ability to be more present in the work I'm creating, to be more present in my daily life in general, because I'm always, much like you, you're a kind of a type A, where am I going to be in 5 years kind of guy, right? I see that.
Just a little.
Where am I going to be in 5 months? You know, maybe more intense. And I was always that person. And now I don't think in 5-year increments. I'm like, I don't even think, where am I going to be next month? You know, I really have harnessed the ability to show up daily and approach it that way. So
part of your working through that is to just be present every day.
Every day. Exactly. Every day. And, you know, and in terms of the working through the fear, I find the practice of the art and drawing specifically is something that completely will lower a person's blood pressure. And, you know, it's like these adult coloring books, you know, we don't, as serious fine artists, we don't think, oh, I'm going to go get an adult coloring book. But people that do that really do lower their blood pressure. And I applaud people that maybe they don't have an innate artistic ability, but they pick up that adult coloring book and color, because just, it is so calming to just take a pencil in hand and just get lost in the line, get lost in the color, get in mark making, to just completely get lost in that. It's, I totally believe it gets you to a healthier place physically. I think it's very healing. So,
well, I agree. I think that I find that I have two kinds of painting. Some of it is what I call flow, where you just, it goes through you, and other it's very meditative. Mm-hmm. And I especially wanted to talk about your mosaic work because of how you've incorporated your cancer situation. And so to describe that a little bit, these mosaics, they're so beautiful that you've been working on.
So back in 2015, I had the cancer diagnosis and I didn't feel like making serious art. And I was always at the hospital. Is always a doctor's appointment, always an infusion, always something going on at Baylor where I get my treatments. And I just decided what I can do is take my sketchbook. So I would take my sketchbook to my appointments because you're always waiting. Every medical procedure, it's nothing but sitting around. And most people play on their phones or they have a friend with them. And, you know, my husband works. Sometimes he'd go with me or sometimes I'd have a friend with me, but mostly I was on my own. And so I'd take my sketchbook and I asked my doctor, like by the second or third appointment, I'm like, what does a healthy cell look like? It's just like it's pretty much just a circle with a dot in the middle of it. And so I'm like, I'm going to doodle healthy cells, you know? And so I would go get my infusion and they hook me up to the drip and I would just start doodling these healthy cells. And in the beginning, they were just really basic because I was really just kind of concentrating on making really perfectly round circles and little dots in the center, you know, and because I wanted them to be healthy, you know? No irregularity. And that quickly gave way to whatever was going on in my head. And so, you know, I call it kind of their pseudoscience drawings, you know, they start out as little cells and then I get these little squigglies going on and these little amoeba shapes. And pretty soon I was just creating abstract art. And so I kind of saw the cell doodling as kind of a gateway drug into abstracts because I've always been more figurative. I've always had a hard time working into abstracts, but doing these little cell sketches was totally the doorway I needed to find meaning in it. And that was one problem with me in abstracts because I know the artist creating the painting may have had, maybe they're just playing with the design basics, you know, maybe they're just playing with composition and line and color and value and all the good stuff that makes the soup.
Yes.
Do, you know, maybe that's all they're doing, but often they do have, you know, either an energy to it or something in it. It's a dance to them. It's a piece of music to them. It's something to them, but you don't always have a doorway into it to understand it. And so having this meaning, this layer of meaning behind it just really, it clicked for me. I'm like, oh, and not only has it made me able to do abstract art, I'm able to appreciate other people's abstract art much more, you know? And I realized I don't have to literally know what they were thinking to make my own story up about the piece that's in front of me if I'm at a gallery or something, looking at something. And so it's much more accessible to me now. So that's my experience with that.
Well, I do. I think the mosaics, your choice of color and the composition, they are so beautiful. I invite the listeners after this to look you up on the web and look at this work because I think that conscious presence, that awareness, and that living in the moment, it transcends in that artwork, you know.
Aww, thank you.
I just recently purchased your mosaic sort of collage work of that owl. And she does, Rebecca does whimsical drawings and little monsters, but I saw an owl, I just had to have it. And there's something about the eyes and the feeling in it and the presence. And it's every bit the most beautiful thing I have in my room. So, yeah. And so I think that's amazing. So,
yeah. And the cell stuff, it was so exciting to me, like year two, when I started feeling better to where these sketches, they did make their way into glass. You know, that was exciting when I got back to mosaic work and cutting glass and layering it to actually have the abstract cellular stuff underneath the glass showing up in more labor-intensive works other than just the, you know, in the collage. And I've got a lot of cellular collages and my husband came up with the phrase cellular mythology. And I really like that because we are making our own mythology as we create these bodies of works. So,
Well, that's a wonderful way of putting it. Yeah. Yeah. So what about these little monsters and the whimsical characters you do? Is that just coming, does that come out of the cellular work, or is it just a totally different?
It's completely different. It's what I do when I need to cleanse my palate. You know, it's like you know, I don't know if you ever watched like a really scary movie and then you've got to put on something lighter before you can go to bed. You know? That's what the monsters are for me, because they're just so silly and goofy. They're monsters, yeah. But well, I did robots for a while. I've done a lot of robots. And the robots have kind of been put on the back burner to do these little kind of hairy monsters. And I'm creating those in Mosaic. And monsters right now are so, it is such a palate cleanser from what's going on with my more serious work and just what's going on in the world, because there's such scary stuff. You know, the virus itself is a monster that is killing people. And so, I don't know, I just making these more childlike, you know, naive, innocent kind of monsters, makes me, I don't know. It tickles me. It's just my way of kind of keeping myself laughing. You
know? And they do. They're great. You know? So after, based on what you say, and I know that you also, teach a lot of these skills and classes for people. What would you tell someone that's in their house right now? Maybe, they're socially distant and they have artistic drive. How would you tell them to walk through this or use this?
I would say, again, it's just back to the practice. And it depends on what level of discipline they have in terms of not discipline, but, you know, ability, I guess. Are they crafters, which is fine. You know, maybe you want to make something for the garden or something, but to have, for people who are just more on the crafty level, I'd say go for it. Just come up with something, you know, to make, to put out in the garden, if it's in like a mosaic or something, or if you're doing stuff for the house, just play, you know. And if you have children at home, play with them, you know, get whatever, use their, go get their art supplies, because you know they've got them. Sit down at the coloring table with your kids and you play and you get it going. And also, if you're really stuck, look online for people who offer up prompts. There are a lot of artists and blogs out there of people who do daily prompts and that sort of thing. And you can follow people that do that sort of thing. You can find them on YouTube. You can find them on Instagram. Just look for daily art prompt and you'll get ideas of what to do. Sometimes I'll do, you know, I'll focus on color and I'll just tackle a color a week and go, okay, I'm just going to make everything pink this week, or I'm going to make everything blue. You know, I'm just going to explore one color this week. But yeah, just figure something out, you know, regardless of your ability, or, you know, just set it up on and take over the, not everybody has a fancy studio, take over the dining room table. Just take over the house and make stuff, you know?
So just go and just walk through it and just do it. Just do it.
Right? Yeah. I mean, you can totally find online videos that will walk you through classes right now. And there's more and more educational content being created. And I'm creating some too online for people. And so you can find stuff online to get you going, or just, you know, like I say, if you've got art supplies sitting around that you haven't played with in years, or, you know, steal your kids' art supplies, just play, just do it, you know, just set up and just have fun and don't put the pressure on yourself that it has to go on the fridge. You don't have to make something worthy of the refrigerator. It's okay. Yeah. Just play, you know?
Well, I appreciate this insight. You know, we could talk and talk, you know, probably have to have you back, because I just love talking to you. I love your energy and I love how you've brought a way of being to your art. And I wanted, you know, I do see it. And I do see, I think people see that. So
thank you. You made my day.
Oh, you're welcome.
Talking with you. Thanks for having me on this launch.
It was wonderful having you on my very first podcast. You definitely meant to be there. You're meant to be there. I look forward to hearing more about you and seeing your work around the city and online. I encourage listeners to go and check her out. At the bottom in the definitions line, there'll be a description of your website and everything else. And she does so much more than we talked about, Rebecca, right?
That's a lot.
Mixed media.
Thanks so much, Chris, for having me today. This was fun.
It was fun. And I'm glad you helped walk me through this. So take care and we'll talk to you soon.